Welcome to Understanding the Gospel. We are here today having a round the table discussion called Talking Truth. And just now we're going to look at a big question, and that question is, should a Christian engage in politics, yes or no? So, what's your thoughts?
Yes or no? Is that all we've got a choice?
Yes, basically, yeah.
Well, I think historically, obviously, for many people, there's been a sort of position where they shouldn't be, and our interest should be elsewhere. So I would come from the position politics isn't the biggest thing at all that a Christian should be involved in. And we can look and have an idea that governments and politics are going to save, but they're not going to do that. There's only one person who is going to save, and there is only one kingdom that we should ultimately be interested in, the kingdom of God. But of course, equally, we live as citizens in this world in which we live. We're to be responsible citizens, and we're seeking to be salt and light in this world. And so the question comes for Christians then, if I could engage in politics, to what level could I engage? We see many evils, even in the country in which we live in. Laws that are passed that are ungodly. I think the biggest one for someone like myself is I look at the issue of abortion. Since the 1960s in this country, we've killed 9 million children. The worst place for a child to be is not in a drug-infested house in some estate in a big town in this country. The most unsafe place for a child to be in this country is in the womb. Millions murdered. If I can seek to do something and raise a voice for those who have no voice, I think there's a responsibility on me to do that. And if that can be influence the governments of this day to pass laws that are more in accordance with God, then that is something I'd like to be able to influence.
I think Paul touches on a really important point, and Christians can respond in one of two ways to it, in that there are lots of political issues, and we could take one such as the state of the planet and climate change and those kind of issues, and we might all have a very different perspective of that. And one Christian might look at it and say, well, I actually believe that this whole world is going to be consumed and it's going to be burnt up and God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, therefore I don't need to worry about it. And then another Christian might say, this is a planet that God has given us to look after and to care for, and therefore I need to do everything in my power to make sure that I am stewarding this creation to the best of my ability. So I think that we have to be careful not to be too extreme in our reaction. I think what Paul pointed out was absolutely right, that it comes down to priorities, it comes down to a theological understanding, but that informs our decisions, but recognizing the fact that political answers are not the ultimate answer to this world's problems. So whether it's campaigning for climate change, or whether it's simply in casting a vote, or partaking in a referendum, or all of these issues, first of all, I think we need to keep in mind that the Bible doesn't give us any direct teaching to either do it or not do it. So we are looking at that this is a decision in the realm of conscience. It's not something we can be prescriptive on. But I think that the key thing is to keep in mind is that there is a bigger answer to the political problems that we face. And those answers are not political, but spiritual.
Yeah, I think we're not here to change the world in that sense as Christians, in order that we're not here to change the world politically. We're not here to... Our principal reason for being and for serving is to bring the gospel. The gospel have its impact, and so forth. And so, again, perspective's a big thing, I think, for Christians. And, you know, there are single issues which arise within our society and the political system of our society that people may feel strongly, and you've just mentioned one of them, may feel sufficiently strong to engage with at some level. And then there's the daily and weekly round of politics, which, to be frank, the Bible doesn't feature in The level of debate is really shocking in many ways, and the whole, you know, political conversation would appear to be far removed from Christian truth or from that sort of thing. So there's the question, do you engage in that whole political debate, that whole political system? And again, my feeling for myself personally is the answer to that, for me personally, is no. You know, I'm happy enough to say that I don't vote. I don't have... there's no one within the political system of my country that I would like to give my vote to. And one, I think the other thing to say from a personal point of view is that people say, well, it's your civic duty to vote. It's not actually, not in our country. There's no compulsion upon you to vote in the United Kingdom. In fact, one of the great freedoms that people fought for was the ability to choose whether to vote or not to vote. And so you're not in breach of your civic duty in our country by choosing not to vote or choosing to vote as a matter for you. And as a Christian, you need to make up your mind in these things.
Would you class a difference between voting in a referendum, where there's like a one issue, whether it be a political issue or a moral issue, or actually voting in an election?
Well, I was just giving my personal opinion, and it is a personal opinion because, as we've already said, you know, the democratic system that operates in our country did not operate in the time that the New Testament was written. And Paul's instruction in relation to their civic responsibilities, there is no specific instruction about voting or not voting, because voting wasn't possible. It wasn't part of their sort of routine. When it comes to would I engage in single issue referendum in relation to a political issue, i.e. Nationhood, independence or something like that, the answer is no. If I was to face with a moral issue, if you can separate the two out, and I think you can, a moral issue in relation to abortion or something like that, then the answer is probably yes. I never have done, but I certainly would have a question to ask in relation to that, but for different reasons. The question would be much more based on Paul's reasoning about the possibility of the preservation of life rather than a choice of government or statehood. So to me, they're different issues, personally. I wouldn't impose that on someone, but that's just my personal view.
I would go with that on the different issues, because when it comes to something like a referendum on independence or whatever, this is still about government, and the scripture says the powers that be are ordained of God. Who am I to know who God wants to be in government, is my question, which I know is a is a bit of a trite question in some people's minds, but it is a question nevertheless. Whereas the moral issue, which again, there's not been one to vote on, but if there were one, I would consider voting in that situation. Because my difficulty is that in general, in politics, in terms of government, in terms of national parties, there is no party that wouldn't have laws, wouldn't have principles that I would conflict with in my Bible beliefs. So there's no party that I could feel comfortable with going with. And in terms of government generally, there is that principle that again, I would personally be, if I can use the word again, governed by the principle about God ordaining the powers and me not knowing, not reading God's mind and not knowing, therefore, which way God would have me to go.
To my mind, there's the two guiding principles, and one of which you mentioned, the sovereignty of God. There's been different systems of government, in this world's history. The current system is democracy, but they're all flawed. But the Bible says that God is over them and is in control, and that He is able to oversee all of that, and as Christians we trust in that fact. But I guess the second guiding principle is that the Christian's main responsibility toward government is to pray for them, recognising that God has put the powers that exist in the UK or whatever country we happen to be in, God has allowed them to be there, and they hold responsibility. We're to pray for them because that's a serious responsibility, and we're also to try as far as we possibly can within the bounds of the Bible to submit to them and obey them as far as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think I'm agreeing with that. I just wouldn't really have one idea or another who to go for. I don't want to compromise one thing to go for somebody else. As you say, Graham, I think that's the critical thing, is what do you let go to go after some party you don't particularly agree with. But what about the whole engagement of maybe even a career in politics for a Christian? Would that be a wise career or something to go after?
I think...
I suppose it would very much depend on your context, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Where are you living? What kind of particular political career are you looking to pursue?
I think in our day, a career in politics, in my estimate, especially in recent history in the UK, when there have been Christians in politics and have had to leave politics because they could not speak out or they could not hold a biblical viewpoint on some moral issues and remain within the political party system that exists. It was unacceptable. Yeah, Tim Fallon being a prime example.
In fairness, that's the same across all industry, isn't it? There's people that have left their jobs in big industry because of a similar thing.
Yeah, I just think that our political system, unless you were in a party that was an independent, is our political system is a party political system, and to be representing that party within the political system, you have to sign up to the manifesto or whatever it is the party believes, which there is no significant party in the UK that I know of, for example, that would oppose abortion. Mm-hmm. So there is your immediate conflict. Could I stand with that? Could I go into politics to represent that party, have my vote taken into account, be under the whip of the party in these issues? And the answer to me is no. But there are categories of political activism, so to speak, or engagement with politics. I mean, there's local authority and all that kind of stuff. So maybe, I don't know, if that's something that people would think appropriate.
Yeah, I think you raise a point there in our modern day. If we look into the past, we look at the actions of William Wilberforce in this country 200 years ago and the great work that he did to get the abolition of slavery, that atrocity which was committed against men. And there was a politician who worked hard, who worked tirelessly, and hundreds of thousands were indebted to that. And we're glad that he did that type of work. We look into our Bibles and we see Daniel there in a position of prominence, a totally different governmental way of doing things, but a position of prominence in the government is there as well. So there have been Christians placed. We look in our present day, we think in the House of Lords, there are Christians who have been in there, and there were Christians who were prominent in 2010 to ensure that churches were exempt from some of the legislation in the Equalities Act, now very prominent, and the way churches are able to operate in this country would be quite different if it wasn't for their activism and their speeches and votes in 2010 in the House of Lords. So there's a lot we have to be thankful for. So yes, I mean, but equally so, could I, as a Christian, being a political party that had abortion of any kind in, I couldn't stand behind that. Could I vote for the least bad one and thus save some innocent lives? That's a different question and a matter for your conscience. Slavery wasn't abolished in one fell swoop. It's unlikely. It'd be lovely to think an issue like abortion would be, but perhaps we can limit the number of children being murdered in this country by using the freedom that we have to vote.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Paul, to highlight that issue, because it's a tremendous blight on and a reflection of our society that's what we do. But there's also another more fundamental point, which is the fact that whether we have a government which is favourable to Christians or unfavourable, as it was in the New Testament. The point is that the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And sometimes the church does flourish when there's persecution. Not that we were looking for that political persecution, but the point is that God's purpose and God's plans will be worked out according to his time and in his way, and it doesn't matter who is in power. But that doesn't negate our responsibility, I think, to look to help those who are the widows and the fatherless of our society.
Yeah, as you say, Alistair, sometimes the church flourishes in regimes where atrocities are being committed.
Yeah, and across the world today, I think that we're probably living in maybe unprecedented times for the amount of persecution that does take place against Christians. We perhaps don't see much of that in the UK, but across the world there are all sorts of atrocities being committed against people simply because they are Christians. And the lack of consistency in people's arguments for the fact that they may not want to support a restaurant chain like Chick-fil-A, but yet they're quite happy to go and support other organisations who are supporting other causes which are much, much more aggressive and unkind than any Chick-fil-A.
So I think, I mean, one of the verses in Scripture that, you know, is in Proverbs, and Proverbs always neatly sum up big doctrines in one sentence or two. You know, Proverbs 21 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And obviously the emphasis of God can do that with the king's heart. He can do that with anyone's heart and does do that. But he's able by himself to turn the king's heart, the king's thought and mind.
So what about political activism then? Not just in the terms of voting or the party political system. So what, you know, you're like talking about campaigning.
Protesting. Yeah. How far do you go with it?
Yeah, then, should you be out in, you know, the streets marching?
Cheering yourself together and tying yourself onto
Gluing yourself to a lamppost or something.
It's probably not that consistent with the whole idea of submitting the governments wherever possible, is it? And actually Christians are to be known for their peaceable ways.
Is civil disobedience a legitimate means for a Christian to express their kind of moral outrage? That's what it seems to be. You know, issues, we've talked about abortion. Would you protest in civil disobedience over abortion?
What do you mean by civil disobedience?
So if there was a march tomorrow down a city and there was a call for civil disobedience, i.e. the disruption of traffic flow within a city in Scotland, and the aim was to draw attention to the issue of abortion and to seek to change the law on abortion, would you think Christians should be front and centre?
No.
And again, the clue is in the question, disobedience. Yeah. So at no point should Christians ever be...
Is it not better to obey God rather than man?
It is, but I think God expects us... Is there other ways we can, as a Christian, if you want to highlight the ungodliness of certain legislation and laws in this country, there are other ways to do that than stop disobedience to and stop and traffic or whatever that might be, gluing yourself to railings. I'd all be for writing to your MP with regard to how horrific abortion is, how wrong euthanasia is. And write to them. There's nothing wrong in doing that. In fact, the Bible speaks about, you know, raising a voice for those who have no voices.
Would you not demonstrate then? Is that not raising a voice?
It's not illegal.
I've never done a demonstration, so what do we mean by a demonstration?
Well, you see the news all the time.
Climate change demonstration, thousands of people marching down.
Marching.
And this is a march which you're allowed to go in, the government has allowed this
march. There's a right to demonstrate within our law.
Right, okay then.
That is activism.
Yeah.
I suppose in that sense, if it's an organised march, and yes, it may bring disruption to a city centre, but the point is, if this is something which the government are... allowing to happen, and there's the protection of property and such things that are being respected, then would you say to a Christian, you have absolutely no right to be involved in that? Now, there's a big difference between that and smashing up somebody's street.
I still think it's probably not quite in the spirit of how the Bible describes our responsibility. We clearly have a responsibility to stand for truth. I mean, the local church is described as the pillar and ground of the truth. And I think that is, in a quite general sense as well, that we are to uphold the truth, or to speak for the truth. But to resort to methods like that, I don't think fit well with the responsibility to submit.
Is there a difference, though, between what is more, what's better, mm-hmm. what is more in keeping with the New Testament, but has somebody sinned by joining in with a protest march? Mm-hmm. That's the question. And is there any scripture that would lend support to that? Now, I think you're right to point out that the emphasis in scripture is that we bring about change to our culture and society through the gospel. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring about real and lasting change, preach the gospel, mm-hmm. and let the gospel change from the heart, mm-hmm. but rather than laws imposed from the outside. However, are we going to say to somebody, what you did last Saturday was wrong and sinful because you went on that? Now, I could probably suggest that there's maybe more profitable things you could do with your time, but are they wrong? Have they sinned against God by engaging in that?
Probably not, but I think the difference between Paul's example about writing a letter to an MP and joining a demonstration is you're writing a letter as an individual Christian. If you join a demonstration, you're joining with a whole collection of people who, many of whom may not have any Christian principle.
Yeah, and your motives could be different than their motives,
yes,
of course,
exactly.
As well.
So
yeah.
you're not one with them. You're one with them on that particular issue, but you're not one with them generally.
I would say, although I'm not a protest marcher myself, as you can imagine, I can see that civil disobedience to the point of where you are then going to cross into the breaking of law. For example, in big demonstrations in London, where arrests take place.
Yeah.
Okay, so Christians, to my mind, should not be involved in that. And then there are issues, I think, that if there was a march or a demonstration within the law on issues that you would be willing to vote for, to my mind, it would be consistent use of your civil liberties. If you choose to vote for a single issue, to my mind, there's no difference in marching for it. You're simply using the mechanism of society to make your voice heard in a particular issue. And I think that comes down to conscience, particularly in relation to that issue. I don't think, for example, that we can compare climate change to abortion as Christians. We have a responsibility, I would judge, of good stewardship of God's resources and not to be wasteful. And I think as societies, we're extremely wasteful. But I don't equate, to my mind, the issue of abortion with the issue of climate change. So I wouldn't be marching for climate change. But if there was an issue of abortion, then I'd need to ask the question. I wouldn't probably march for it personally, but I can see why some would.
You wouldn't, or you would march?
I probably wouldn't, to be honest with you. But that is not a condemnation of those who might want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important point to keep in mind, that it is a matter of conscience when there is no biblical mandate to not do it. So I think you give people the liberty. But I think you can talk about, if a person is spending all their time involved in campaigns, even for something like abortion, and they're spending a lot of time and energy campaigning for that, really our focus ought to be in the gospel, not on these single issues.
And in praying for our government.
Absolutely.
Which is another way to affect change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the gospel is the predominant issue. And no one else apart from Christians is going to promote the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's for certain.
I think that's a good place to stop then, and really to sum it up, I suppose it comes down to a matter of personal conscience and, of course, making it a matter of prayer as well, to pray for those in authority.